Okay, this is Michael Koskunen. We're talking with Mark Bolan, the leader and one half of Tyrannosaurus Rex, or T-Rex if you prefer. And one of the main things we'll be talking about is Electric Warrior, which is Mark's new album, or T-Rex's new album. And I was talking to Mark before and said that of all his albums, this is kind of unique. It's the happiest and the most infectious of all the albums. And also the lyrics seem to be sort of more basic in a way. I'm not sure if that's the right word for it, but different than the rest.
Yeah, it's strange for me because I'm much more interested in communicating directly to people now. I don't feel there's that much time to jive about anymore, whereas I was never aware of it. America did that to me. When the last tour coming here, I realized the urgency to do whatever you're going to do now, you know, if it's possible. You know, in this album we did, because basically we wanted to play, and we just went into the studio and played and got down what we wanted, really. But there's very, you know, it's, the years slip by, you know, it's very strange, and the planet changes, you know.
Did you feel that a lot of the imagery and mythological references and that you used in a lot of other songs were just going by people?
Not in England, but in America. I mean, England's a very different country. You know, we've been talking about this. We've had, you know, we're sort of super big in England. We've had, we sold 5 million records and stuff there. And it doesn't mean too much here, only because the people don't really know what to come for T-Rex, you know. They don't know what I'm about, and they don't know, why should they, for God's sake, you know. And I just, that album for me is about just explaining to America, really, that we're worth listening to. I mean, if people don't like it, fine, don't listen, you know, but I'd like them to give us a listen, because I'd like to have them on my side, actually, to be quite honest, because there's a lot of things I want to do, like movies and other recording things and playing him, and I really like playing here. And to do it, I mean, I'd like to do, the ideal situation is in 3 or 4 years' time, which most people that I know in the business would like to do, is like to do a couple of concerts for Bread and then do a free one, a couple of concerts for Bread and then do a free, you know. But the running of a group is so expensive, you know, that it's, people have to realize you have to do that. So what I'm doing now is trying to do things. Like this album's going to have a free poster in it for a start, a 30 by 40 poster. It's got lots of, the inner bag has special pictures and stuff. And it's bits of badges and things. Just jive things which are nice to do. And I think people should do. You know, like in England, we would do 3 tracks on a single.
Right.
Because if someone's going to do it, man, you might as well, you can get 3 tracks on. People before would say, oh man, you can't get it on for level and stuff, which is jive, you know. You can do it. And we have bags on the albums, on the singles in England.
Yeah. The new Tyrannosaurus Rex, or T-Rex, is it's not just you and a second person anymore now. It's a larger band, isn't it?
Well, yeah, what I've done is just get people, I hear more in my head, you know, and I just, there's 4 of us now on stage. You know, I write a song, and I just needed more people than Mickey to get across a sound that was going to allow me to do in 3 or 4 years what I want to do in 3 or 4 years. You know, this is a problem. We have so little time now, and I come this time to, I've only been here 3 days, and we start a 3-month tour of, like, the world when we get back, you know. And I'd like to spend more time here, but to get the sound on stage what I want to do, to establish all round what I want. I'm a writer, and I've got 3 science fiction books coming out in England in about 3 weeks.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. A book of poetry. I'm doing some music for a Fellini film. I've been asked to direct a film that I wrote. And there's also this other stuff. But to me, until, I'm the only country left in the world is America for us, you know. And it's like, I'd like to get it over with, find out if people either want us or don't here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, really, so I can decide what I'm going to do. Because I'm, you know, I'm a rocker, man. Music's my initial inspiration.
Well, you've gotten to enough of a degree. I mean, you have 4 albums out here, and well, you will have 4 albums when Electric War is out, and attracted enough attention and enough radio time and enough personal appearances, where it certainly do have a strong following here, even if it's not, you know, big business type numbers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the people that have got our records here are really good people. I have some amazing letters and stuff, you know. Mm. But it's very hard.
Yeah.
It's just that perhaps we're spoilt in England because, and we did for 3 years, we were just like a so-called underground group.
Mm.
And we had big albums, but we weren't really getting through to any media. We never played in the radio. We were never on any sort of TV things. We were never in the papers. And then suddenly, at the beginning of last year, it just exploded into
like
a science fiction thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it like that. You know, it just means I can get more things across to the kids, for hopefully for less bread. And we do free things in England. You know, I stick in the tours we do. I promote in England, and we keep them down to it's only $1 to go in. I take the loss on that because I'm working out on the records, you know?
Right.
And I don't want to rip anyone off. Whereas over here, I can't demand things like that of promoters because they just tell me to screw off. You know, whereas if I can get that together, I can establish something here like that, which
sort
is what I'm more into.
Reach that plateau of power so that you can use it, right?
Well, yeah, just reverse it back on the barracks, you know, just work that out.
Yeah.
And it can be done, and you know, and not, you don't have to say that you're working for nothing and stuff. I mean, you know, we live all right, you know, we live well enough, but you don't have to rip people off either, which a lot of promoters are into.
How do things like Ride a White Swan and Bang a Gong Get It On, were hit singles in England, if there's not even any top 40 radio, how does a single become a hit?
Well, White Swan happened. White Swan made the top 20 just on people, on word of mouth, and then they had to play it. They were obligated. And they wanted to, because I just had to prove to them that people wanted to hear it. So we got enough interest to do that, and then it just, once they played it, it just broke wide open, the whole thing.
Did you ever get with any musicians, any other musicians who were heavily into science fiction? The one person I'm thinking of is Paul Kantner, who is very, very much into science fiction, in fact.
I met him briefly, but I don't know him.
Yeah.
In England, they're very... England's, the nice thing about England is it's so small, is that everyone who's got a heavy head, one knows really well. I mean, you know, I just talking with one of the guys from Warner's Russ, and I said, you know, I used to play with Cat Stevens a lot when he first started. We used to, and we were both like folk singers, for want of a better. There was nowhere else to go, you know. So we used to play acoustic guitars, and but the people that you know, it's all within 5 miles in London.
Yeah.
You can get to meet anyone and you can play with them. They'll go on your records gladly. I mean, people love to play, you know. If you get to get Eric Clapton or someone or Elton John on a record, it's the easiest thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
You know, one knows the people anyway, but I mean, they want to do it. No one's... It's not a number, you know.
Mm.
It's the record companies that make it a number normally.
Yeah, all the legalities of contracts,
right,
and all that
but
sort
meanwhile,
of thing.
I mean, people... I'll play with anyone. Because that's music, right? That's what you do it for.
Right.
The only person that I have an affinity word-wise, I think, is probably Bernie Taupin. He's very into science fiction things.
Is he?
Very. Yeah, he has, he's very into that.
What?
And children's books he's into, too.
You mentioned that you have two science fiction novels coming out.
Yeah.
Will they be published in America, too, or...?
Yeah, you see, what I'm doing now is in a way, trying to arrange it so that we can approach people. So that they'll publish them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a book of poetry done last year, which is the biggest selling poetry book in England, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it never got in the shops. It was done through mail order. We did it ourselves.
Do you differentiate between poetry and song lyrics?
For me, yeah, because when I'm writing a song, it's the strength of the melody. You know, within a melody is so much power, and the world was created, you know, with arm, and that was the heaviest boogie that was ever laid down. You know, and that's there. So I play a couple of chords, and I get such a high from that, and I just draw the words out of my head that make relevant pictures, really.
Hmm.
But poetry is like, for me, a word turn on, you know, structuring the words and putting emotion through without music.
But it's also melodic, maybe in a different sense. But
oh, sure, yeah.
It's a very melodic form.
Yeah, but you can have, like, with a song, you have the strength of a beat and the chords to carry it. With words, it's much more sort of, you know, it depends how it's done, how it's presented.
Mm. You're going to score a film for Fellini?
Well, we it's like in the air, yeah, we spoke about it.
Right.
I love his movies, I think they're visually really good.
Would it be a sort of Satyricon type of film? Or
depends where he's at the time, really, I think. Cause he just showed an interest in the sounds, you know?
Yeah. Because the sort of the imagery and the whole setting of Satyricon seemed to be very much related to a lot of your music.
You know? Exactly. I mean, when I saw it, for me it was just like seeing one of my songs put on a film, really. So, yeah, I mean, it'll work out fine, I'm sure. Yeah.
You keep, I don't know if it's because that's where you live and work or if you do differentiate, but you keep talking about English musicians. Do you find American musicians, well, rock musicians, to be very much hung up in their own star complex? Or?
I haven't really met enough to say, man, honestly. The people that I meet are really nice. But I really haven't met too many.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Randy Newman next week, which should be nice.
Well,
he's a good man.
He's unbelievable.
Right. So, I mean, I'll see him and think, how nice, you know. But I don't know. I mean, you would know more than me, the jivers there are. I mean, everywhere's gone, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest shock to me was when Tom Jones was big here. And, like, those sort of people, you know, because I thought, wow, they wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other realm.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but they're good people in their own way.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's, that's something else.
Yeah, really. When you, is it very much different when you play? I don't know what kind of circumstances you play under in England, but in America, essentially, you've played like,
we've had no choice in America, to be
honest.
Yeah,
you've played sort of second act to more famous people, haven't you? And usually played in fairly good-sized concert halls.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of circumstances you work in England?
Yeah, we can, you know, we're in a nice position now where we can fill any hall in England probably three times over. So we can afford to, and we draw our own audience. I mean, we get very young. It goes from like 14 to 30, you know, it's like we've
really?
Covered the whole, sure. We get screamers and all that whole thing, but they're not headless people. You know, they're inquiring young kids.